This evening we're looking at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4, but if you will, keep your Bibles open because in the five thoughts that I'm going to share with you, we'll read a different verse from the Proverbs to give us some insight in each of these comments. Tonight's word is the word diligence. Diligence is the pointed and determined activity of a truly dedicated person. When you want to see the outcome in such a positive measure that you're willing to give it your all, that's diligence. Diligence has biblical and practical implications in the life of a Christian. And after all the years of my ministry, I'm not sure that I have ever spoken at least an entire message on the subject of diligence. But you come to 2 Peter chapter 3, and after describing the fact that the day of the Lord is coming, and that the saints are to be alive and quickened to that fact, Peter says, make sure that you are diligent so that you will be found without spot or without blemish. So my motivation tonight is not necessarily just to teach you not to be lazy, but rather to tell you that diligence is one of those commandments that God has left with us in light of the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming and we ought to work because the night comes when no man can work. So let's begin tonight and talk about diligence. First of all, the life of practical industry. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Chapter 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. This is simply a contrasting verse. And if you'll allow me just to state frankly what I think it says that the lazy man is exposed in his laziness, and nothing good comes from that. And the industrious man is exposed as a go-getter, and he's rewarded as a result of that. Sometimes when we think about that, we like to just say, well, Pastor, that's who I am. That's my personality. That's how I have always been. But mind this, if you're what you've always been, you're not a Christian. Because you've not always been a born-again believer. There came a day and a time when you trusted Christ, declared Him to be Lord of your life, and surrendered yourself to His Lordship. And beginning on that day and for the rest of the days of your life, you can no longer excuse your attitude or your actions and say, that's who I once was. Because if any person's in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things are passed away, and all things have become new. And please don't think tonight that I'm simply talking about the person who doesn't make their bed in the morning, or the person who doesn't rake their leaves, or the person who doesn't mow their grass, or the person who doesn't wash their car. That may be a slight tinge of laziness, but here's the real thing. Are you working for that which is eternal, or are you wasting your time on that which is temporary? If Proverbs teaches us anything, it teaches us to search for the eternality of things in this life and live our lives in that measure. So know in the first place that practical industry, that the hand that is slack, that does not work, that does not move to progress, causes poverty. But the hand of the diligent, the person who is pointed and determined to be a dedicated person, the hand of diligence brings about riches. Now, once again, before we move to the next thought, he's not necessarily talking about the kind of riches you can spend. Dollars, cents, prosperity gospel. He's saying the riches of life come to the man who is industrious, who is active, who is diligent. Someone said to me one time, if God would have wanted us to see the sunrise, he would have put it later in the day. Well, that's an interesting thought. But the man who rises early, the Bible says, accomplishes much. The man who rises early has time to spend in doing quality and eternal things, the life of practical industry. The second thing I share with you is the life of personal mastery. Look at chapter 12 of the Proverbs and verse 24. Chapter 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Laziness, even in the spiritual sense, leads to slavery. Do you know that Satan goes about looking for those whom he can devour? Do you know that the idle mind is a mind that Satan will impart and implant thoughts of evil into it? Did you know that if you live your life in neutral, Satan will find the gear he wants to put you in? What this passage is simply saying to us is a man will be enslaved if he's physically lazy. A mind will be enslaved if a man is mentally lazy. And if you are spiritually lazy, you fail to read God's word and study and show yourself faithful, you will be enslaved in that area of your life also. Sometimes we call it a stronghold, a demonic, a satanic stronghold, an area of our lives where Satan can go and come at his will and leisure. And if your mind is not the mind of Christ, busy and active, thinking on spiritual values and spiritual things, Satan will occupy your thoughts and lead you into an area of your life that is destructive. Laziness leads to slavery. Busyness leads to mastery. That is, you become the master, not the servant. When you begin to live out an industrious prayer life, an industrious life of Bible study, a life where you're mentally and emotionally and spiritually and physically alive to the things of God. A Christian is to reign in life by the power of the living Christ. I would just challenge you to look through the Gospels. Jesus Christ could have never been accused of laziness. He was up early, up late, and about the Father's business continually. And my challenge to you tonight is to recognize that when you and I mentally and emotionally and physically and spiritually are not actively involved in the things of God, Satan finds a way to trip us and to trap us, to hinder us, and to harm us in our Christian experience. Number three, the life of powerful victory. Look again at the 12th proverb and the 27th verse. Proverbs 12, 27. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. In the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Well, that's just a very practical statement. The man who hunts and kills and fails to roast his game so that he appropriates what he has done, that man will come to no count, to no good. But the man who fruitfully and faithfully does the things of God will enjoy life's victories. You think about that in any area of life. If you're constantly late to work, if you're constantly not doing the volume of work expected of you, the promotion is not likely. If you're not being the kind of father you ought to be, raising your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, it's not likely your children will have the kind of asset a godly father could bring to the home. If you're not the kind of friend that sticks closer than a brother, but that moves away when times are tough and difficulty comes, You'll never have a friend like you need a friend, and you'll never be a friend like you need to be. These are practical statements. If you want powerful victory in your life, the failure to enjoy life's opportunities will rob you of that. But the fruit of enjoying life's victories will always bring a blessing to your heart and life. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I fully know that you could just listen, but I want you to mark this in your Bible if you have not already. Begin reading in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul speaking and saying, "When I came to Tarsus to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and I went to Macedonia." Here's the key. "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphant procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, the other a fragrance from life to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ." One of the best messages that I have ever heard was by Ron Dunn, perhaps 20-plus years ago. It was entitled, "Chained to the Chariot." The idea is very simple. In the old days of the Roman government, when Rome sent out an army to defeat a village or a town or even a nation, the enemy was often chained to the chariot of the victorious captain of that army. And the enemy was pulled behind the chariot as the captain of the army came back into the city where he left, where he went out from to gain the victory. Sometimes there would be many soldiers announcing the victory. Then the captain of the army would come with his beautiful white stallion and his chariot, and all of the others would be chained to the chariot behind. Now, when you envision that and you hear that little word from me, the first thought that you have is, oh, we're the captain in the chariot. No. Oh, we must be the victorious soldiers out in front of the chariot. Wrong again. We are those who have been chained to the chariot. We have surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And do you know what he then says? Everywhere the captain goes, we go. Everywhere the chariot wheels roll, we follow after. And chained to the chariot, we become a part of the victorious parade of the one who has defeated death and hell and the grave. And you and I tonight need to enjoy the victory, not that we have won as we strut out in front, not that we are the captain of the soldiers who won the victory, but that we have been the victims who now are set free because the victory is given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying to us is there is a powerful victory available for every child of God. But diligence is one of the keys. Someone used to say, keep on keeping on. Do not quit before the end of the race. Run the race, looking toward the finish line, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the fourth thing that I would say is the life of passional quality. Look at the 13th chapter of Proverbs and verse 4. "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." When you come to practical everyday life, here's what that says. You don't work, you don't get paid. You work, you do get paid. When you apply that to the spiritual life, it's this. He who makes the greater effort receives the greater blessing. He who makes the greater effort receives the greater reward. He who surrenders and serves is more blessed than he who stands by only wanting to receive. He speaks of the poverty of the lazy and the riches of the diligent. And I cannot help but go back to the physical things because that's the best illustration to move into the spiritual realm. When you see someone who would rather watch you work and let you work than work, you ultimately understand why he has little or nothing. When you see someone who's industrious, full of life, full of energy, and desires to accomplish something, you then can understand why he might have much. Now, I recognize in human existence there are people who inherit, who never work to earn. And I understand there are people who have worked all of their lives who never have had much. But generally speaking, that is a contrasting statement. The lazy, they're poverty-stricken, not just physically, but mentally, sometimes morally, certainly spiritually. Find someone who has no desire to read the Word. He is spiritually full of poverty. Find someone who has no time to pray. He is spiritually full of poverty. But you find a man who will rise early and diligently give himself to the things of God. You find a man who will go long and stay long and work hard, and you will discover the riches of the diligent. Soul satisfaction and dedication comes to the man who strives, who's diligent to do those things that God commands. And let me bring you to the last thought, and then we're going to spend a moment in 2 Peter. The life of purposeful constancy. And look all the way to the 21st proverb. All the way over to Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Do you hear the promise of God? The plans of the diligent leads to prosperity, leads to abundance, leads to riches, leads to blessings. But the slothful, the lazy, the inactive only leads to poverty. It does not mean one man will have a million, the other man will have none. What it means in every walk of life, in every aspect of life, in every way that one can go about living, the diligent will be rewarded with the riches that God can pour out upon him. And I made the comment earlier about the rising sun. If you never are diligent to rise early and you never see the sun rise, you have missed one of the great wonders of the world. And I'm not just bragging on the sunrise. I'm bragging on the sun, S-O-N, who makes the S-U-N rise. Early, the psalmist said, I seek him. Early, I seek him, so that finding him early, I shall have him all the day long. The diligent weighs his plans. He prayerfully seeks God's leadership. He knows that the things God desires of him does not come by being spiritually lazy. The thoughtless acts and the hasty acts misses the mark. Others find the way while they are lazy, spiritually speaking. So take a moment and turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want us to do just a little investigation of this last passage of Scripture before we go tonight. In the first part of 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us that there is coming a day when God will cleanse this earth and when the godly will be glad they trusted in Jesus and the ungodly will be thrown into judgment. And then he says in verse 9, don't overlook the fact that the day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So that when anyone says to you, the Lord is not coming, they are putting off, or they are not seeing the truth that all these things shall come to pass in God's own time. And then he brings us to verse 11. Since all of these things are going to happen, what kind of people ought you to be? What kind of person should I be, living a life of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the Lord? Because the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promises, we're waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, listen to this again. While we wait, what does he say? Live godly. Live out a life of holiness. Hasten the day. Run toward the day. Seize the day. Anticipate the day. Look forward to the day. The slothful, the lazy will not do that. It takes the spiritually energetic to press toward the mark, to look for the day, to live out the life of holiness and godliness. And then look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, look at that. Be diligent. Be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Be diligent. Jesus told about the master who left his servants behind and went away for a while. Each one of them was given a gift, a talent, an amount of money. Each one of them was told to invest, be industrious, work hard, and accomplish much. When the master returned, one of the servants had done just that. The other had done a little. But one had done absolutely nothing with what he had. And to that servant, the master said, now follow this, even what you have will be taken away from you. So honestly, I wish you'd all make your bed in the morning. I wish you all would run from place to place and accomplish much. But that's not what this message is about. The challenge here is this. The time that we have left is but a few hours in relationship to God's timing. Our lives are just a vapor that lasts for a little while. Like the smoke that rises, it's soon gone. He even said it's like the grass that withers under the hot sun. It's like the beautiful flower that's here one day and it's gone tomorrow. Life does not last long. So what is he saying? Therefore, make the most of the time that you have so that when Christ comes or you go to be with him, you will be without spot and without blemish and at peace with how you have lived your life. Please never assume that you have 70 or 80 or 90 years to live. I may at this point in my ministry preach many more services for those younger than me than older than me. You have no assurance of tomorrow. Your challenge is very simple. Knowing that the Lord is coming, knowing that he expects of you to live a life of holiness and godliness, knowing that the slothful, the lazy, will come to poverty, and the diligent will come to riches. Knowing this, what manner of person ought you to be? You ought to be a diligent man or woman, so that when you come before Christ, you will be without spot or blemish. And here's the key, and at peace. At peace. So, my challenge tonight is to reevaluate the life you're living and make sure that you maximize every moment of every day, every hour, every week, every month, every year that you have left. Waste no time being lazy. Make much of the time that you have being diligent. Diligent to be holy. Diligent to be righteous. Diligent to wait upon the Lord in holy anticipation of Him coming for you. Are you going to be with Him? And then you will be at peace. Let's stand together. I'll be here in the altar. If God speaks to your heart tonight about something that you ought to do, first and foremost, just the certainty that Christ is your personal Savior. And if you don't know and know that you know that, please come and make certain of that before you leave tonight. A desire to become a part of this church family. A desire just to come and pray. A desire to recognize in yourself spiritual laziness. Mentally not thinking about the things of Christ. Emotionally not surrendered and sacrificing to the Lordship of Jesus. Spiritually not active and enthusiastic in the work of God. If you recognize that in yourself, why not spend a moment in prayer committing afresh to make every moment count, living up to your potential until that day you stand before Jesus.